You got to get passionate about this thing. If the cross doesn't move you, nothing will move you.
I'm offering you something that's greater than silver and gold. I'm offering you something that's greater than an increase in your pay on your job. I'm offering you a...
There's no shortcuts to the glory.
We've got to get past week-to-week living. We've got to multiply our prayer life. We've got to multiply our effort.
And we are willing to give. God will always give it back to us in good measure, that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Hey, thanks for checking out our Christian Life Church podcast. You will be hearing from one of our pastors or guest speakers, either at our Frankfort or Lebanon campus. Prepare your hearts and your minds to receive a word from God. Thanks for listening. Enjoy and receive this message.
Over every worry and fear right now. Hallelujah. Come on, take a moment and just speak the name of Jesus. We've sang about it. We've rejoiced over the name. Now let's accentuate the power that is in the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Feel the presence of the Lord in the room today. Without a doubt, God has already entered into this house. I don't think we have to welcome him because he's already here. And our praise has been significant to letting him know that his presence is welcome in this room today. His power is with us this morning, and I believe God wants to do something really great in somebody's life this morning. As we were handing out baptismal certificates a moment ago, Sister Judy Brown came up and she spoke to me and she said God gave her a miracle while we were singing and while we were worshiping. She came in with issues in her spine and she said God touched her and healed her, and there was no pain in her spine while we worshiped. Oh, we ought to rejoice with her, and we ought to thank God this morning for his healing power that is in this room today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Come on, sing with me. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Come on, sing it out now. Jesus. and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Come on, put your hands together and magnify the name. Hallelujah. 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 Our music team led us into the throne room of the Lord today. I'm not trying to up what they've done or destroy what they've done this morning. Matter of fact, they were doing such a good job that Facebook sent us notification that we infringed on copyright laws, and they decided we didn't need to be online for a little bit this morning. And so they can do what they need to do. Our online listeners, we hope we can get it back together for you. Amen. Brother Mike, catch the curveball that's coming to you this morning. I came prepared to preach, and the Lord is sending me in another direction today. And so I'm going to do what the Lord said. Amen. Luke chapter 22, if you have your Bibles. I warn you before I begin, I have a message on my iPad prepared that I want to preach. I will preach it. I'm not going to preach it this morning because the Lord just brought me to a message that is unfinished. So I warn you in advance, this is not going to be pretty this morning. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan desires you, and he's got a plan, and the plan is to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, Simon, that thy faith fail not. Now, I want you to get this, because Jesus here is talking to Simon Peter. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Watch this now, a disciple of Christ, I want you to watch how the Lord speaks to him. And when thou art converted, I'd struggle with being offended about that statement. When I've given up my fishing nets to go follow Jesus. When thou art converted, there's a job for you to do. I want you to strengthen the brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny me, deny that thou knowest me. Brother Mike, I know you have to have something to put on the screen, so I don't know what this is going to look like or feel like, and I don't really know a title to give this morning, because this is just a word that I've been working on. So I usually keep some things in queue that I'm working on. When I feel inspired, I grab it and work on it. And I had another message this morning, so I'm just going to preach what the Lord says, and we're just going to, by the help of the Lord, just talk about the desire of Satan. The desire of Satan. Lord, I need your help this morning. You know the lack of my preparedness for this subject today. I'm depending on you. I'm trusting you. You have a purpose and a plan. Lord, I choose today to decrease that you can increase. Speak to hearts in this room. By your spirit and power, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. God has a plan for every person in this room today. God has a plan for every person in this room. God has a plan. Not for some, not for most, but for every person in this house. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Even for those of you that still haven't believed it after I've said it three times, I'm going to say it the fourth time just for you. God has a plan for you too. And while God has a plan for you, the adversary, the devil also, has a plan for you. And so therefore, in the balance between God's plan and Satan's plan is the issue that we call flesh. Not original to me, but if you have your phone, I want you just to take your phone out because I want you to do something for me. If you've got a phone, I want you to grab it and I want you to, we took selfies. This isn't Selfie Sunday, but this morning is going to be right now because I just want you to very discreetly, while everybody's watching, turn that camera on you, and I want you, not your neighbor, no cute selfies this morning, just sincere, solemn selfies. You need to look in that camera and you need to just take, if my phone will catch up this morning, well, praise Jesus, an iPhone. Here we go. You got your phone up? You ready? Just a serious, solemn picture. You got it? Save that thing. Save it. You need it. I'm borrowing an illustration that I saw Mark Morgan use, and I'm going to share it with you this morning. Because I want you to take that picture that you have, and you've now saved it on your phone, and I want you to look at that picture every morning. And I want to introduce you to the greatest battle that you're ever going to deal with that day. It's the person in the picture. God has a plan. Satan has a plan. Both have a plan for you. But now you have a will and a choice that is going to dictate where you're going to stand on which plan. Which plan is going to cost me the less, some may say. Which plan affects me the least? Which plan disturbs me less than the other? Must never be the decision-making factor of God's plan in our life. Teachers are in classrooms. Students are over in the activity center. Sunday school teachers are working this morning. My wife is speaking to the youth this morning. I want every person that is in this room to know that God doesn't only have a plan for our children our youth, and our Sunday school teachers. But God has a plan for every person in this room today. Let me speak to every new convert that is in this room. God has a plan for your life. To every musician and singer today, God has a plan for your life. But can I add that while God has a plan for your life, there is an adversary that is working overtime because he also would like to stop God's plan for your life. To every minister, every leader, every worker, every elder, to every guest that is in the room today, can I go ahead and preach to our guests today and tell you God has a plan for your life? And can I tell you that the adversary has a plan for your life? And you have got to decide who is going to trump the will of the flesh. Can I speak to every husband and wife that God has a plan for your marriage? And the enemy has a plan for your marriage. Oh, my Lord. Can I tell you this morning, to every parent and grandparent in the room, God has a plan for your children. And the enemy also has a plan for your children. To the one that feels like giving up this morning, God's got a plan for you. But the enemy also has a plan for you. Your adversary, the devil, desires to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Now, I know when we start talking about the people in the text here, we often hear a lot of preaching about the loud, quick-tempered, outspoken fisherman by the name of Peter. He was a man that was desired by the enemy. Why was it that Simon Peter was the target for the attack of the enemy? Why was he the one that was on display before the enemy, and the enemy was going at him as hard as he could? First of all, because Peter was more than just one of the 12, he was one of the three. You see, even Jesus, who had 12 disciples, had three that went a little further with him. It was Peter that received the keys to the kingdom. It was Peter that stood up for Christ and cut off the ear of the soldier when they came for Jesus. He was a man of faith. It was Peter that walked on water. Miracles were done by the mere passing of his shadow. It was Peter who said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." And the man walked. It was Peter who preached the gospel message on the day of Pentecost and declared, when they asked men and brethren, "What must we do?" He, Peter, standing up with the other 11, the scripture said, calls him by name, declares that he's the one that stands up along with the other 11. They were in agreement together. They all stood together, but it was Peter that spoke the powerful words. "These are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the what hour of the day? The third hour of the day." It was Peter that goes on to declare that we were to repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Peter goes on to say, "And the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off." Peter was a man that knew what it was to be used mightily, greatly of God. But in our text today, Peter is the one that was desired by the enemy. Jesus said, "Peter, Satan desires to have you that he might sift you as wheat." I'm not sure who I'm talking to today or why that the Lord would choose to take a message that I came prepared to preach this morning and turn me into a different direction to preach a half-prepared message today. But I hope it is a word from the Lord that is not half-baked. Peter, Satan desires to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Let me describe to you the scenario and the scene that the Lord declares to Peter, who had been so greatly and so powerfully and so mightily used. When he said Satan desires to sift you as wheat, what he is saying, Peter, just like wheat that goes to the threshing floor and it is sifted, just like the wheat after it has been put together goes through a process of getting all everything out of it. In other words, here's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to take only the best of your life. He wants to take the best of your potential, the best of your days, the best of your talents, the best that you have to offer. The enemy wants to spoil that. And when he said to sift you as wheat, it is speaking of taking the best, and then everything that is left is just discarded. Everything that is left is just thrown to the side. I want to tell somebody this morning that the Lord sent me to this pulpit to remind you that the enemy desires to have you that he might take your best days from you. He wants to strip you of every gifting. He wants to strip you of every talent. He wants to strip you of any anointing that you have ever walked in. He wants to take away every dream. He wants to take away every goal. He wants to take away every ambition. He wants to take away every vision. He wants to leave you with absolutely nothing left. This is a word of warning for somebody in this house today. God has a plan for your life, but Satan also has a plan. God's plan is to prosper you and to give you an expected end. But the enemy has a plan, and that is to take your best days and your blessed days and to rip them away from you and to leave you with nothing but the spoils. He wants to rob you of your giftings and your talents. He wants to steal your passion and your hope. He wants you to lose your anointing. He desires the best, and then, like the dregs from the sifter, he will take what's left from you and he will throw you away. I want to tell you today that while that is the plan of the enemy, I come today to push back against the forces of hell. Maybe I'm beginning to see in the spirit what the Lord is wanting to do in this room today. But there's some people in this room today that needs to have an undercurrent of prayer while I'm preaching this message right now, because we've got to push back against the forces of hell that is about to get a hold of somebody and rip them apart to take the best from them. And the enemy is sitting with glee in his eyes, but your pastor stands on the podium this morning declaring to you, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to pray until the enemy's back is broken. I'm going to pray and I'm going to push back against the force of hell until victory is won. Victory may not come easy. Victory is going to come with a cost. But come on, CLC, we've got to make up our mind. I'm not just going to sit here and say, if the enemy would like, let him take my life from me. But you've got to get up with some courage and some stamina and declare, I'm going to fight back. I'm going to push back. I'm going to give it everything I have, because God is the final word. Acts chapter 12. King Agrippa sought to arrest certain of the church. I shared this in a leadership meeting yesterday when the Lord quickened it to my spirit. King Agrippa sought to lay hands on and to vex certain of the church, Acts chapter 12. Use a key word here, certain. It was certain of the church. What does it mean by certain of the church? Why was Peter and John targeted for the attack of King Agrippa when he sought to lay hands on and to vex certain of the church? Again, it was the same man named Peter and his compadre, Brother John. And the two of them were in the sights. They were in the target. They were being watched. They were sought after by King Agrippa. Why? Because they were the ones that had the potential to make a difference. Not only did they have the potential to make a difference, they were the ones that were making a difference. Because if the enemy knows that he can get his hands on a certain one or two or four, if he could get a hold of certain individuals, and if he could hinder certain individuals, and if he could pull down certain individuals, he can stop this thing from moving forward. Because it was Peter and John that were going to be an essential for the apostolic message to go forth. It was the disciples and those closest to Jesus that absolutely were essential for this gospel message to go forth from Jerusalem. And they were sent out as apostles, and they went by twos, and they were met with all sorts of enemies and all sorts of weapons that were used against them. Most all of them died horrible deaths. The enemy already had a plan for them. The enemy was already using them, but Jesus had a plan for them as well. King Agrippa sought to lay hands on and to vex them and to arrest them and to throw them in jail. Listen, it's not those that are on the edge of the church that are under the extreme attack. I'm going to tell you who's under attack. If you're under attack today, it is because the enemy sees the potential that you have to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Yeah. I came today to tell somebody in this house, if you're under attack this morning, take courage. You're not alone. The enemy wants you to believe you're alone, but you're not alone. We're standing with you. We're standing beside you. Because the reason the enemy's after you, the reason the enemy's after your family, the reason the enemy is after your kids, the reason the enemy is after your finances is because he's trying to sidetrack you. He's trying to arrest you. He's trying to put you on hold. Because if he can do so, he can stop what God's doing. Walking into the building this morning, I spoke to one of my greatest friends of all time. Pastor Brent, Sister Datha Brosom, you all know them. Wonderful friends. They pastor in Joliet, Illinois, a great revival church. God's doing more there at this season than he's ever done. I talk to him on a weekly basis. Story, those that don't will hear this story. My friend went to Joliet, Illinois. He and his wife and two young children, and they went to establish and start a church. They started in their living room, later to move into a school gym, and they were at a school gymnasium for quite a while, and then all of a sudden the enemy began to attack. My friend Brent came down with cancer in his body. His wife began to deal with seizures that caused her to have a very significant surgery, brain surgery, to stop the grand mal seizures. Both of them wonderful people. Many times in prayer, I wanted to say, God, why? God, why? God, why? I believe it was an attack from hell from the very beginning. I believe it was an attack because the Lord knew, but the enemy also knew that he was going to be a threat to that entire area. Now they're no longer in a living room or a gymnasium, but they have a fine, fabulous church building. And before long, they're going to have to do an expansion because they're busting at the seams. They started a Spanish ministry with over 100, 150 that are gathering every Sunday afternoon in their church every Sunday. They're running 200, 250 people that are gathering there because one man and one woman said, "We'll be difference makers. I don't have family here. I don't have a job here. I'm just going to go and step out on faith." And when they did, they came under attack of the enemy. But the enemy didn't have the final word. Because like Job, they made up their mind, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." If you've got a made up mind, I'm telling you this morning, the enemy's going to fight you. If you have made some decisions in your heart, the enemy's going to fight you. But you've got to know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You may be criticized for it, but keep living for God. You may be scoffed at and mocked, but keep living for God. You may face hurts and disappointments, but stay in the church and stay faithful to God. The devil may fight you, but God is on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Why Peter and John? Because they were called for a purpose. Not just a purpose to see who could be the greatest in the kingdom. There were 12. They argued between themselves about who was the greatest. They argued over who got to sit on the left hand and who got to sit on the right hand. There was so much flesh in that room when Jesus met with them. When they walked along with Jesus, sometimes we put them on a pedestal like, man, they had it all together. You know what? Some of the same things that I see among leaders today, I see in the disciples. But there was a decision that had to be made. God has a purpose for every person that he calls. He has a plan specifically designed for your life. Now, everybody's got different views on the will of God and the plan of God and the mind of God and all these things, and I'm not here to debate. Everybody's got a right to be wrong. This is my opinion. I believe God has a perfect plan for your life, and I believe you have the ability to prevent God's perfect plan for your life. And you can make bad decisions and wrong choices and go the wrong direction and mess up and end up spoiling God's perfect plan for your life. But as soon as you come to your senses and you repent and get back on track, God takes your feet and he orders your steps to make the absolute perfect plan for your life from that point forward. Now, I hear it already. I hear critics out there going to criticize this message and say, "Pastor should have spent more time preparing and studying before he got up," because I believe God designed my failure. There are moments in Israel's history where God designed their failure, but I never find a time where God ordered an individual's failure. But individuals make their own decision. I believe God will allow us corporately to go through things because corporately we are disobeying what God is wanting to do. But individually, it doesn't matter how far you've gone, how many bad decisions you've made, how much hurt and disappointment there is. Today, right here, where you are, you can turn around and say, "God, I want back in the center of your will. I want back in the center of your plan." And he will make your feet like hinds' feet to walk in high places. Peter and John are strongholds of the church. If you think this is good, you should have heard it the way I had it planned out in my mind when I got it finished. and John were strongholds of the church. Thank you. I was just cutting up and being funny. That was a brother-in-law move right there. They were strongholds of the church. They were the ones that were going to hold this thing together when Jesus ascended and said, go tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Somebody had to keep the group together because Jesus was not there. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. So now what they have to do, oh, I could preach a whole message about this. Don't steal this and preach it, Dylan. Between the ascension and the outpouring, Jesus was not with them. They there had to walk by faith in his word. He ascended and the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. But they went and tarried in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem. They were strongholds of the church. They were the one that held the thing together when the enemy began to try to shake the very foundation. Let me tell you, churches don't just happen. There are some foundations. There are some pillars that have held this thing together. You know what means more to me than anything? It is when some of our elders, some of the foundational members of this church, some of the people that have been around here a long time that think that you're that you may have disappeared into the world of I've done my part and pastor. Hey, listen, it means more to me when a compliment or a comment comes from some of our folks that have been through some things in life and weathered some storms in life, but through the ups and downs of the church, they didn't leave, they didn't turn tail and run, but they said, come on, let's huddle in together. Come on, let's come together. It's time for us to go to God in prayer. Let's time to do, hey, I'm telling you, I give props to some of our elders that are in this room that have prayed through some storms, that have stayed through, come on, your strongholds of the church. But watch Peter and John, because the enemy will come after you too. The enemy will come try to knock you down too, because he knows what you're made of. The future of the early church rested on them. Their destruction meant the destruction of the whole church. The enemy's not sitting nonchalantly by as the church marches on into revival, but he's doing everything he can to stop the move of revival in the church. Now, about that time, King Herod stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. In the Greek, this is what it means. He sought to lay hold on or to take hostage, to arrest. He threw them in jail. It didn't work out very well for him. Listen. Here's why the enemy wants to lay hold on you and to take you hostage. Because if he can take hostage of your mind, if he can keep you in turmoil in your mind, if he can detain you and arrest your vision, if he can capture your attention and get you worried about petty little things that mean absolutely nothing to the kingdom of God, get you fretting and worrying and gossiping over the smallest of things, he can absolutely stop what God's potential is in your life. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to make up our mind. I will not be held hostage by an enemy that cannot dictate my future. I refuse it. He wants to hold you hostage, and he wants to vex. Everybody say vex. He wants to vex. You know what that word means? Harass. He wants to intimidate or interrogate you. You know what he wants to do? He wants to get you wrapped up and then interrogate you and see what you'll say about God when things aren't going your way. You know what he'll do? He'll try to wrap you up and see what you're going to say about your pastor when things aren't going your way. You know what he'll do? He'll wrap you up and see what you'll say about your brother when you're having a bad day. He will lay hold on you, detain you, that he may vex you, harass you, intimidate you. Intimidation has always been Satan's method of attack. If he can get you to believing that your situation is greater than your God, then he can win. Now, strange. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I believe the enemy has some people believing. I'm not talking about the surface, praise the Lord, I'm here, got my suit on, looking good this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. But the enemy has some people believing in your heart of hearts that things are never going to turn out the way that God told you that it was going to turn out. The enemy has some folks in this room believing that your life is done, that your ministry is done, that your future is done. And I'm preaching against it and I'm pushing back against it this morning and trying to preach faith into somebody this morning to understand that your adversary is the devil, not your brother, not your sister, not your husband, not your wife, not your pastor, not your church. Your adversary is the devil and he's coming as a roaring lion. You cannot sit idly by and let him attack you. You know what happens when a lion attacks? You better get a weapon ready. You better make some noise. You better let him know I'm here. You can't just sit idly by. Well, I'm going to come and sit by and see what happens. I tell you what you better do. You better get your praise voice on because your adversary will come and destroy you. You better start yelling as loud as you can. Hey, devil, I'm here and I'm ready to fight because God's on my side. It's the devil that told somebody before you walked in here today, you can't do this. That was the devil that told you that. That wasn't God. That wasn't your pastor. That wasn't your neighbor. That was the enemy. That was your adversary that told you that. But I come today to push back against that force of hell and declare you can serve God. You can be victorious. You can be an overcomer. God is on your side. You can make it. Come on, God's for you. I'll stand all over the building. Lift your hands right now, and I want you to pray like the enemy is coming at you with every intimidating force that he can. But I want you to declare right now, in the name of Jesus, I will not be denied. I will not be devoured. I will not sit idly by. But my praise and my prayer is a weapon that I'll use against the enemy. Come on, lift your voice in that prayer right now. There needs to be some warfare prayer that comes out of somebody right now. Come on, let your worship come forth right now. You need to let the devil know, I've been lied to too long. You're not lying to me any longer. You're not holding me down any longer. I will walk in victory. I will not be defeated. I will walk in victory. Come on, lift your voice before the Lord right now. Three times Jesus was taken to be tempted of the Lord, of the enemy. He was taken to the pinnacle of the temple, to an exceeding high mountain. All these happened at extreme times in his life after he had fasted 40 days. He's at the end of this journey in physical weakness. The enemy takes him. He says, if you'll just cast yourself down, if you'll just turn these stones into bread, bread would have killed him after 40 days. If he would have cast himself down, it would have killed him. He said, if you will just bow down and worship me, everything you see from this point of view can be yours. Isn't that just like the devil? Get this. Satan himself stands at an exceeding high plateau, looks at the creator of the universe and says, I'll give this to you. Isn't he a conniver? Isn't he a liar? Isn't he a thief to even try to lay claim on what God has already created? The battle was about one thing. The battle was about worship. You can praise him from a distance, but to worship him, you got to be on location. Satan looks at Jesus and said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of these things. You know what Jesus said? Get behind me. It wasn't a difficult battle. He just said, get behind me, Satan. Somebody in this room today, listen, that battle doesn't have to be weeks and months of turmoil and pain and agony and beating yourself up over the mistakes that you've made. What you need to declare this morning is, get behind me, Satan. He's intimidated you long enough. He's held you there long enough. He doesn't own your victory. He doesn't own the territory that already belongs to you. Don't give it to him. He's a thief. He's a robber. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Somebody needs to make up their mind right now that you're going to announce, get behind me. I'm worshiping the Lord. My worship will never be given anywhere else but to the one that deserves it. Thank you for responding this morning. Everybody in this room needs to respond, because God has spoken a word to somebody today. I know it wasn't pretty, but it was the word of the Lord to you today. God is on your side. God's working for your good. Some of you ministers and elders to step forward today. I want you to lay hands on some of these men and women that are here needing prayer, some for physical needs, some for spiritual needs. Come on, step forward today. Lay hands on them. Take authority over the enemy that would like to come against them. Take authority over that sickness and disease. Take authority over the weapon that the enemy is trying to use against them. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. No weapon formed against them is going to prosper.